This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the March issue podcast of Flight Training the Way I See It. News and opinion with your host here, Mike Shiflett in Miami Beach, Florida, with CFI Bootcamp. So we've got a bit to cover this week. I had a lot happening last month, and so I want to give you some updates. We're going to talk a little bit about a new product that we were just releasing here. That'll be fun to talk about for me. Maybe not for you, but it'll be fun for me. And we're going to talk about Redbird migration takeaways. So the Redbird migration conference happened beginning of March. I was there, and I've got some great takeaways of things that are happening there. I'm going to condense that into this 20-minute podcast that I intend to make today. Also, I'm going to talk about Aviator Zone. Talk about Aviator Zone. My friends there who run Aviator Zone won an award. So we're going to talk about that. That's nice. We're going to talk about the Safe CFI Pro program is now ramping up, what that is, how you can be part of that. We're going to talk about our initial CFI class in Las Vegas is nearly full. It basically is full. There's room for maybe one or two more people. That's on the 15th of April. So got to get rolling if you want in on that. And the CFII class is right after that. On the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the following week. And there's some space in there. That's remote. And then we'll talk about some pro tips. So let's get right into the action. Let's start by talking about some Redbird migration takeaways. So I was there, and it was the Lone Star Aviation Museum at the Hobby Airport, Addison, I think it's called Airport, in Houston, right across from Hobby. And anyway, it was March the 5th and 6th, and I actually did a talk there on the 6th, which I'll tell you about. One of the reasons I went, not only to do my talk, was to listen to Everett Rochon, who is the director of AFS 800, which is certification of airmen for, and certification for all things aviation and certification process for airmen air certificates, it's called certificates. And that's both for general aviation and commercial division. And so I want to give you some things about that. They realigned a lot of the FAA. So he now got a lot of divisions that used to be that aren't anymore. So for example, the knowledge test division, that's sort of area worked with an AFS 610, 600. That's been disbanded and now they're in 800. All the handbook people, ACS people, all those people are now under one roof. And they report to one boss, and that's Everett Rochon. So that's a good thing. He's a go-getter. He's a Navy pilot, former Navy pilot. He knows how to get things done, officer. So I'm really happy with him at the helm. And he says it like it is. So I think that's pretty good. So the other thing that's happening is DP's oversight is going to be brought out of the FISDO's realm at some point, hopefully soon, and that'll be overseen in either Washington or Oklahoma City. So that'll be the standardization and the sort of selection people and the let's standardize everybody. That's going to be from one place now. So we don't have the opinions of the FISDOs, right? That's what we don't want. So don't want that. So hopefully that issue is going to be coming to a head here soon. They're aware of it. They're working on it. And they were going to give us updates of class sizes of initial DP stuff, but I didn't hear that. So that was a bit of a disappointment, but we'll find out about that as time goes on. But that's nice. They're sort of bringing everything under the same umbrella, which is great. They're also setting up an ARC, which is a rulemaking committee. So, and it's going to be around part 141. They're going to be rewriting part 141 and parts of 61. And so they want to put out this ARAC, which they're chartered it now, which means that they're going to go ahead and select the people to put in it. And that's a good thing. So I don't have really much to say there. So, you know, I think for me, it's not really my cup of tea, but, you know, it's good. So the ARC is basically advisory and rulemaking committees. They're industry people, stakeholders that get to report, meet and get to report to FAA what they think the solution of something is or what needs to be changed or modified, that kind of thing. Okay, so that's where we are with that. So good, let's move to the rest of it here. Some other things we've got. Mosaic is coming, by the way, probably next year. I don't think it's going to be this year. That's modernization of a special airliner certificate. They're trying to get the FAA's on board with bringing the stall speed up to 51 knots, which then allows something like a Cessna 172 to be flown. As a light sport airplane, a light sport aircraft pilot can fly that. So it's very good. But AOPA is pressing for 61. And that really will open up a lot of airplanes. So now we'll see what we get. There is a little rub there. The rub is that they also created a new part for noise stuff. So like not noise abatement, but noise criteria. It's very difficult to be able to meet that in these LSAs. So they're going to have to do something about that. Not sure exactly what they're going to do, but everybody's moaning about that part. Okay, so with the good comes a bit of bad, but that's going to happen. The other thing was the other things in final rulemaking is the certificate expiration dates for CFI is going to be a thing of the past. So you're just going to renew based on recency of experience, either through a FERC recommending people. It's going to be an IACRA event. And so you won't get a new card every 2 years. You'll do things. You'll still have to do things, but you're not going to have to do. You're not going to have to submit paperwork to FAA and then them reissue the card. So it's not going to happen. So there's that. Okay. So then that's good. And then what else did we talk about? I did a talk there. It was called Analog versus Digital Flying: How and Why You Should Leave Paper and E6B Today. Right. And so I made a joke. To begin with, I showed a big Game of Thrones sword on the big giant screen. And I said, you know, I've been sharpening this for like 2-3 months. When I got to TSA, they wouldn't let me bring it on. So I had a little letter opener, you know, a little tiny thing. I showed a picture of the letter opener. I got that. It's a Game of Thrones sword letter opener. I said, I can still stick you with it. So then I'll show the next slide was you're allowed to throw tomatoes at me if you want. And basically the crux to the presentation was, look, we need to leave this paper stuff. You know, it needs to go bye-bye. Right? That's what needs to happen. And people don't fly like that. We're not flying like that. And so we need to not test like that. And so coincidentally, there's a new AC that just came out that addresses electronic flight bags and basically says that they can replace everything paper in the cockpit. That's fine. No problem. So that's kind of interesting. And Greg Brown is doing an article on that as we speak. So that's quite good. So we've got that. So I was basically going through why I want to kill the E6B. I mean, it's 84 years old. That's, you know, sometimes the people who are testing it are that old. They probably used it when it was new, but no more. We're done with that, right? There's so many things that I can show and do within ForeFlight that is no possibility of me showing on a paper chart or a E6B or this. I also took the wind out of their sails when I said, I'm going to tell you, you're worried about teaching the principles of navigation that people won't be able to do that without that tool, the E6B thing. I said, so I'm going to tell you in words in about 2 sentences, what we need to teach to make that not true, to make it, they'll get it every time. So I went through a little exercise and I said about drift, wind drift. And once I explained it, everybody could reason through it and say, oh yes, I see why I'd have to turn the airplane now. I see exactly which way I'd have to turn and about how much. And that was like right there, right? So I smacked them right between the eyes. And so I don't know if it's recorded or not, but it was fun. All right, so let's leave migration. Let's talk about, well, we'll still talk a little bit about migration because AOPA did their Flight Training Excellence Awards there. And so that's always the dinner around Rittenberg Migration. They come and they give the awards. And so it just turns out the two people I know and I really like, Felipe and Juan, own Aviator Zone, Tamiami Airport, KTMB, 141 school, and they do things right. Let me just tell you, that school does it right. And they won Best Flight School of the Southeast again. Yay! Okay, so I wanted to say that. Give a big shout out to them. I gave the slow clap. You couldn't, if you're hearing in the car, I'm giving the slow clap to them. Shaking my head as I'm doing it, like, you know, that was it. So I saw them get the award. I was very happy. I like to hang out with those guys. So that was great. Now, because we're Miami so people, so I can tell you something funny. You'll like this. So, you know, driving around here in Miami is pretty crazy. If you've not seen a show like this, boy, come on down Interstate 95 and see what happens. So people don't use turn signals at all. And then people will weave in and out of traffic. Even if traffic is stopped, they don't seem to recognize that. They just keep going, right? Inches from missing you. And you can see the parts on the car missing parts, right? When they're missing, you say, oh, that's missing a bumper. That one's missing a mirror. That's what's happening. And then if the shoulder's free, let's just use that. This goes 80 miles an hour up the shoulder to bypass traffic. So that's kind of what it is around here. So during the event last year, when I first met Juan and Felipe from Aviator Zone, they had a big Chevy Tahoe. And I got a ride every day from the hotel to the event with them. And so going out of the parking lot, you can't turn left. there's like a median, a little curb and a grassy area, another curb. You can turn right, but you can't get over that. And so I see Felipe had his turn signal on, turning left, right? And so Juan looks at him and says, you can't turn left here, man. It's right only. And he says, Felipe says, we're from Miami. We have to represent. And across the thing he goes, out we went. So, yeah, they deserve to win. They deserve to win. They represented us, South Florida, really well. All right, so let's talk about the next topic, which is SAFE CFI Pro. So here's an organization called SAFE, Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. SAFEPilots.org is the website. And they represent us, educators, about 6,000, 7,000 members. And what SAFE recognizes is that we've got a lot of brand new CFIs who have less than 1 year experience. Most of our fleet, our team is that. Most of all of us. So we have very few people who have more than 2 years or better of experience. And so there's a need for what I would say in medical school, there's residency, right? Because even though you're a doctor, they go like, not yet. We need to see a few things first, right? We need to give you some practice and supervision. Well, we don't do that here. Your residency is your first five students and God help them is what I say, right? Yeah, it's going to charge them less money. But let me tell you, with the value proposition, out the door. So it's for your benefit, most of these things that are going on. So, but SAFE has a program called CFI Pro. And so this is a program they call the Missing Manual, right? What I say, I've said for years, is you can buy as much flight training as you want, but you can't buy experience. That you have to earn. But you can lean on other people's experience. You can lean on other people's experience and get help with things that would take you, you know, either you'd make a mistake or you'd feel the burn of the situation or something. Someone else could guide you in the right direction. So this is a combination. Here's some things that you really, really, really need to know you weren't taught. And here's some things and people that you could align with who really help you out. So I'll give you an example. So during training for your CFI, you were taught, FAAs were very interested in making sure you could fly from the right seat safely, right? So you did that. You even did spins, right? And then the other thing the FAA is curious about or wants to know that you can teach, that you can actually critique, that this person can make mistakes, and you point out everything and fix it. That is exactly how we don't teach people to fly. That disconnect is there. In addition to that, you're going to take a lesson plan that's going to take like, I don't know, 40 minutes to deliver, some giant monstrosity, right, that you poured your heart and soul into. And that's to prove to the DPE that not only can you teach, but you know everything about that whole thing, which is not what we do either, right? We typically give a pre-flight briefing. And we lean on ground schools. We lean on ground instruction. We lean on online courses, something, to do a lot of the aeronautical knowledge, like the aerodynamics and such. And then we can talk about it, but we're not going to dwell on it, right? Dwelling is what the course was for. So there's a big disconnect. And so SAFE is attempting to bridge that gap. So if you're interested in that, David St. George is the executive director. I've known him for a very long time. Top layer guy, right? Top. And he's got someone there who's also top layer, and that's Dorothy Schick. She runs the mentor program, and she also runs the CFI study group. And she's amazing. She's really, really, really good. She's the right person for the job. She's got the time, the expertise. So if you want in on that, go ahead and go over to SAFE and find out all about that. They also have something called SAFE Toolkit, which is an app that runs on your iPhone. It's on iOS. And it's got a lot of things in there, like getting you ready for a practical test, all the endorsements, a checklist. There's a lot of resources in there, and it's free to you. You can get that at Apple Store. SAFE Toolkit is the name of it. Okay, stepping down through, our initial class in Las Vegas is nearly full. So we've only got about 2 seats left. We had to move to the big classroom upstairs because we have 17 people or 18 people in that class, and the classroom will hold 20, right? So we have some room for the remote stuff, but in person is going to be challenging. And getting a test will be virtually impossible now. So just be training either ground only or ground in flight, but test would have to wait. I don't think we'll be able to get check rides within a month, but it's right at the limit, the very, very, very limit. So there's that. So we're going to have that. We work out of Chenault Flying Service, which is in Las Vegas, and a great school. Great owners, I mean, people who are in the know, right? Who are progressive, they look forward, right? They're doing things in the right way. They have great equipment, good, you know, really great instructors, a great facility. So I have nothing but good things to say about them. And they're also 141 approved. And we teach the class under them. So basically, it's CFI Bootcamp on campus teaching Chenault 141 program. And so that's lets me take my experience into that program and really dial it up, you know, really, really well. So the result is very good. And so because of that, Chenault will bill you, and then you will get to use VA benefits if you want, because we'll be teaching under their 141 certificate, and everything will be run exactly from that syllabus. So that's great, right? So, and the syllabus has a lot of flexibility in it, you'll see. And we do have Rex's Scholl. He's going to be helping, assisting with some of the critiques and lesson plan stuff. He's the co-founder of the CFI study group. Also, you know, I'm talking, these people are really, really good, right? So if you want the benefit of super good instruction and oversight, you know, SAFE, CFI Study Pro, not Study Pro, CFI Pro, then the Dorothy Schick CFI study group and Rex Scholl there. And then coming to a class, I mean, we've got you covered, right, with solid people. Okay, so that's going to be on the 15th to the 21st. So it starts at 8 a.m. and ends on the 21st. Then 2 days later, the double I class starts. There's, I don't know how, three, four, five in this region right now. And that's remote only. So you have to join via Zoom. I just finished one the other day, a three-day class. And that covers everything you need to know. So there's that. You can go to our website and see that. We're going to go through some pro tips here. But before I go through the pro tips, I wanted to touch on one last thing. And that is, we are releasing a brand new product. And it's going to rock your world if you're studying for your CFI. Well, I don't know. That's kind of a fun way to say it, right? It's going to be really good for you. Let's say that. I can say that with a surety. Our beta testers had great things to say about it. They fixed some errors that we didn't catch. It's great. But they were all saying that, you know, this is something I wish I had. I would have used this. This would really help me. What is it? Right. Shh. Okay. So basically, it's called CFI Smart Study Pro. That's what it is. So people always ask. They ask things like, how should I study for my CFI? Isn't it all self-study? No, by the way, not all self-study. It's the only rating that I'm aware of that you can't self-study. What? Well, don't get me wrong. You're going to do a lot of self-study. But you can't just do self-study and sign and find someone to sign you off. That's not good. That's really bad. Because then we're continuing to dilute the pot in terms of instructors who know anything and instructors who can teach. You can do that if you know what's going to be on the test. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be a good result. And if you look at the regulation, which is 61, 185, 183, and 185, it tells you, it says you have to receive ground instruction from an authorized instructor on all the areas of the fundamentals instructing as listed. Then it says the aeronautical knowledge for recreational, private, and commercial. All that has to be given to you. And there's no home study course there. And all the other courses are, or other ratings like private, recreational, sport, instrument, commercial, it says, or you can use a home study course, not here. So don't get this in your head, right? Make sure you're doing things the right way and nothing is called into question. So anyway, this CFI study group, it really, you know, sort of focused my attention on where's the pain? Like, what are people really struggling with? And you know what it is? There's two things that are the biggest things. The first thing is, how do I study for this? And where do I start? What do I look at? You know, what is all this that I need to do, right? I have no idea what to start. I have no goddamn clue what's going on. And so I thought, well, you know, I know how to do that because that's what I do for a living. I show you what to do. So why don't I just make it easy for you? And so I said, well, not easy, but let's make it efficient. So when you drive to the airport, right, and you go for a lesson, you're probably sitting in your car listening to music. You might have a podcast like this one you're listening to me on. But what if you had an audio presentation, an audio file you could listen to for every single technical subject area or area of the ground that's in the PTS, all 26 of them. And you could listen on your way, so you didn't have to have anything like a book open or anything. But if you happened to have a way to do it, you'd have a PDF companion for every single one of those 26 lessons that has summaries, some things you might want to memorize, has images from handbooks, some images with statements down below it. This is what this really means. So what if you had that? That'd be like amazingly good, right? And then it wouldn't be terribly long, you know, because, you know, you only have so much time in your car. If these lessons were like between 10 and 30 some minutes long, that'd be great. And then at the very end, you'd get our CFI PTS laser focus guide, which we've had out for a while. And that basically says, if you want to study for this task, then these are the resources, the FAA resources you need to go locate. Here they are. And then when you have them, this is what you need to study or read. Read this chapter up to this point. And then the next part from that was if there's any crib notes or something like these mnemonics you might need to memorize, they'd be in there too. So this whole thing working together is a great way to self-study. In addition, I put together the order in which to study because I think people get this wrong. So now I'm going to assume that you've done the right thing and you've actually been with a flight instructor or a school like ours or someplace and you've got the aeronautical knowledge. You just need to study now. And put it all like in, get check ride ready, right? That's what I'm thinking, right? I don't think this course is gonna help you, teach you everything you need to know. This is my new course. I don't think it's going to. I think it helps a lot, for sure. But here's the statement I'd make. When we teach you at our school, we mix things up a little bit, which means that we do a little bit of the FOI one day, we do some of the regulations one day, and then we do some more different things. And we do that because if you get behind in the class, you have that evening to catch up on that thing. It's not like we're doing all FOI in one day. And if you're behind, well, you're just behind, right? You're not ever going to catch up, right? So we do it that way. And so what we like to do is, like, when you start teaching, you really need to have the fundamentals of instructing kind of covered, right? You need to kind of have the things that matter in the FOI need to have been covered so you can use that information, right? So, but that's not how you're going to study. Studying's different than learning. Learning, you're going to learn it in such a way that you're using the information as you go. All right, now, here's what the study thing is. This is your tip of the day. This is a free tip. Is you're going to study the things you know first. So of all those technical subjects, all of that, the FOI is not one of those things. So you're going to do like aeromedical first. Then you're going to do maybe aerodynamics, maybe operational systems, maybe flight controls, weight and balance, weather. These are things you know you've been tested on two or three times already. So do those first, and then you're going to, about 2 weeks before the test, somewhere there, then you're going to concentrate on the FOI and the endorsements and all the CFI-centric stuff, because that's what you didn't know before, right? And the reason you do that is if you do it the other way around and you put the FOI and stuff first, then you're just going to keep happening to refresh that over and over and over again until your studying is done. And it's just a monumental amount of work to keep that ball rolling. So just leave it until the end because you have the tools to be able to do things like maybe create a short lesson plan on something, teach from an outline. You should be able to identify that. Okay, so that's, so I put together this order that lets you study in a way that optimizes so you're not constantly having to keep all these Reaper, Pima, CAP, CAA, all these things in your head. Fast Coco, you know, all this stuff. Save that, right? Okay, so there's that. So that product is basically done. We're going to release it, I believe, on this Saturday coming. I don't know what time. It's going to be near the end of the month. It'll be the 30th of March. So I think it'll be on our website, 30th of March. So you also get an email on that. We're going to send out that as part of an email to, I don't know if the podcast people, I don't know if we know you, but certainly if you're part of the newsletter, which you can get, by the way, the written sort of like the PDF version of this podcast is at CFIbootcamp.com, and you'll find a way to opt in for the newsletter, right? So also we do, every Saturday, we do the Power Hour. We've done 176 of these one-hour shows that about aviation. So they can be, it's all flight instructor and pilot-centric, so it's things like you want to get a seaplane rating, here's what to do, here's what it looks like. You want to market yourself as a flight instructor, here's what to do, here's what not to do in an hour. Why is it tourist speeds or ground speed squared divided by 11.3? Why is that for pivotal altitude? We did an entire hour on the mathematics and geometry behind that. We've done deep dives into many different maneuvers. We said, why is the steep spiral entered upwind? You know, what's the only maneuver ground that has a ground reference component to it that's entered upwind? All the other ground reference maneuvers downwind. There's a reason. You got to dig back to the 1965 manual from FAA to find the reason. So we go through that. We also say, why is a Chandelle and Lazy 8 in a Cessna 172N model as a placard on the airplane says the airplane has to be in the utility category to do it? Because the way they did it when that airplane was new is not the way we do it now. We got a way dumbed down versions of those two things. They were high G maneuvers. They were 2, 3G. So, you know, that's the thing. So that's the Power Hour. So that's every Saturday, 12 to 1 Eastern time. The only way you can see it is, to go to our website, CFIbootcamp.com. At the top, you'll find a bar like a with a pulsing thing that says unlock or something. It's blue. and it's a little bar that goes across the top of the page, and it says opt-in or something like that. So then you put your email in there, and then you get a reminder. First, you get the title of the show, usually on Wednesday or Thursday of the week. An email comes out, this is going to be the title, this is when it is, and link to the show. Then an hour before the show starts, you get an email. And then right as it starts, like 1 minute before, you get another one. That's when we see people flood in the room. And we have anywhere from as low as 40 and as high as 100 or so come into the room. We've had AOPA on, Legal Protective Services, a few weeks ago. We've had SAFE on. We've had a panel where we had Greg Brown. We had Dorothy Schick, I told you, and Rex and myself and some other people around. Gary Reeves has been there. So these are the kind of people you want to hear from. Okay, so that's it. Now let's go to the pro tips, and we'll close this baby out for the month. Yeah. And I will be in the Bay Area for only a few days. I have to have, the aviation story, a little secret. I have to have cataract surgery in this eye, the right eye. And it's on April the 2nd. The procedure is 1 day, 6 a.m., by the way. Woo! And then follow-up is the next day, and then basically it's done. But you can't have glasses or anything. You can't get them fitted for another month. So it's like, that's going to be a challenge, right? The other eye is okay, though, so we're good on that. So I want to be there for a few days, and then I'll come back and go to Las Vegas. So that's my schedule. So next, the Power Hour for this week, the 30th, is on live, and the next one will be someone else doing it for me. I think we're going to have someone on Upset Recovery. But anyway, you'll get notified of all that if you go to there. So let's look at some CFI pro tips. These are pro tips we do every week, and this is for CFIs and CFIs in training. So number one pro tip, we had this happen, so this doesn't happen too frequently, but it happens in levels. So let's talk about first, spin training, getting sick during spin training. Typically you won't. You will feel queasy. That's a typical thing. But typically you don't really get that sick, although people do. So we had one in our last class in Las Vegas who, when he came back, you could see they had no color. He was just white, green sort of looking, and he was sick, right? And so part of the reason for that is, you know, people will say, don't eat anything. No, that's not all not true. You have to eat something, and you have to be hydrated. You must be hydrated. So, you know, in the Air Force, if you go out for a flight, you know, they check, you know, ask you, or did you do this? Did you want to make sure you're hydrated? Because you're going to pull some G, you're going to do something, right? And this is going to be very unusual to you. If you eat a big meal, that's a bad thing. Don't do that. So basically, get some Gatorade, get some water, something like that. You pick but something with electrolyte in it, anything. Pedialyte works fine. And water, and hydrate yourself. Don't make it so you have to, you know, that you'd think you'd have to go to the bathroom. That would be bad, right, in the air. So, you know, make sure you do this early enough. And eat a power bar, something like that. Some bar that's dense and dense like that. And then avoid greasy things, all those things like that, that could slosh around. And, oh, that wouldn't be good. So that's number one. So, but not eating anything is a bad mistake, because you can get sick. And that's exactly why he got sick, by the way. So he just didn't eat anything. He didn't eat anything since dinner the last night. And, you know, it was just one of those things. His stomach was all jittery. All right. If you need to board or get people off an airplane, never do it with a propeller turning. So we've had issues even recently with people getting out of the airplane, seasoned pilots, and, you know, getting the door, and the door maybe catching a little, pushing, and then they trip and they fall right into the propeller. So as much as you want to board people with the propellers running, don't. That's really a recipe for disaster. So a lot of times, like in the run-up, you want to switch seats or something, you can call the tower, tell them what you want to do, and 90% of the time, or more than that, they authorize it, no problem. Or they send you somewhere else where you can do it. So make sure you're doing that. As a CFI, be sure that you're insisting that you're never getting out of the airplane when the propeller is turning. Okay, now, no matter who you're flying with, always do the following. This has saved me, I can't tell you how many times, but a lot of times. Are you ready? I'm gonna give it to you right now. Every time you fly with somebody, whether it's a DPE, test pilot for Cessna, Sean Tucker, whoever it is, you need to check the fuel visually, and the caps, check the oil, and do a walk around as a minimum. So this is what you have to do every single flight, right? Never an exception to this rule. And many times it's happened where I found something, you know, something didn't look right, the propeller, I look at the propeller, something's wrong on that. So there's been things I've caught. Fuel caps have been left off for sure. Many more, not, I don't know how many, but quite a few times, right? And you could be like this pilot who calls me. I get all the calls when you get in trouble. Typically, a lot of my students call me, right? So here comes one. He calls me and says, I had crashed an airplane. I think, some issue with the FAA. I said, yeah, probably, right? But I hear you talking, so, that's the good side of it, right? Yeah. So what happened? I said, so what happened? He said, well, I was doing commercial training, night flight, for a student, not mine. He says, and I was just doing it as a favor. It's a two-hour night cross country. So they had departed an airport, one airport. They went to another one, and it was at night. And this was in an Aero. They were using a Piper Aero at the time. So they got to the other airport, and they were staying in the pattern doing, I think he said, touch and goes or something. I don't know why he's doing that, but they were doing it. And that airport's like, say, an hour and a half away, something like that, hour and 15, in this region, hour and a half. And so then the third time in the pattern, the engine quit on the departure leg, on the upwind. And so fortunately, that student knew the area off the end of the runway for whatever reason he knew it and decided to land in the field there. And that was what happened. So the airplane was totaled. Everybody got out. No problems. So then what happened? When he departed the airport, the primary airport, the departure airport, he didn't do a walk around, didn't check the fuel, didn't check the oil, nothing, right? He just got in. So when the NTSB got there, they noticed there was no dipstick. So the student had put in oil and forgot to put back in the dipstick. And so all the oil was just flying out of this thing, and the engine after a point just seized. So you see what I mean? So, and that person already had a private pilot certificate, instrument rating. I already had flown the Aero, had plenty of time in it. This was like one of the last remaining flights they have to do to be qualified, right? So, who would have thought? But I know. I absolutely know. So I will not get into an airplane unless I at least walk around it. I'm for sure of that. I check the fuel, I check the oil myself, right? That's 100% sure. Okay, so that's the end for this episode. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was fun for you and that you got to where you're going. If you're in the car, hopefully just pulling in right now would be ideal, right? Yeah, got the whole thing, all the juice squeezed out of this podcast. Okay, that's it for here. And I'm going to talk to you again next week. And you can go to our website, opt in to some other things if you want to see what we've got. And we'll send you another email if you're on our email list for self-study, Smart Study Pro. So I confuse that sometimes with SAFE's CFI Pro. But anyway, we'll send you about that. And thanks for listening in today. And that's it for here in Miami Beach with another episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.